Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne,
and it's me, Ellie Gibson.
That was very formal, wasn't it? Oh yes.
I've done it 256 times or something. I'm trying to inject some sort of new angle into it, but I'm struggling, to be honest.
Okay. Well, you know, let's start today.
Come on.
Hello. Yes, well, I'm very excited because today's guest is Sarah Rossi, Ellie. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi.
AKA Taming Twins.
Yes, and I am very... That may have been a humdrum introduction of myself, but I'm very excited to have you here in my lounge, Sarah, because can we start? Sarah, you saved my Christmas.
Did I?
You did. So if you don't
know
Sarah...
I know,
it's amazing.
She's like Father Christmas.
She is like Father Christmas. She's a Father Christmas who can teach you how to cook shit that's easy and you can do in advance. And that's basically why I turn to you at Christmas. So
can I just say that's the nicest intro I've ever had?
Is it?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
In your face, Steph Douglas.
Yeah.
Yes. She listens to the show. She's been on that podcast. That's just a very niche call out. But
exactly. So for anyone who doesn't know, what do you like? Some people like cookery writer or chef, or how would you describe yourself?
I'm 100% not a chef. I'd love to tell you I am, but I'm not. I say, it depends who I'm talking to, but I say a food writer. If it's someone that I think will understand, I sometimes say a food blogger, but a lot of people look quite confused when I say that and say, what's a blog? And now I write recipe books, so I feel like that, you know, once you've got a recipe book, I feel like I can say I'm a food writer. But what you said is true, that I try and make recipes that will make people's lives easier because I understand.
And they taste bloody delicious.
I mean,
they're
that's
really
it, yeah.
Absolutely tasty, joy-giving food.
Thank you.
So this was why I turned to you at Christmas. Because again, this was even before we started talking about the podcast, or, you know, before I'd seen you done your book or anything. Yeah. But I was looking around for recipes, and it all began with the ham recipe.
Oh.
Because did you know you have an award-winning ham recipe?
Wow.
Sarah, because I won Ham Review on the Christmas podcast with your ham. And I was like, well, that worked out well. Mm. What else has this bird got? So I ended up making that Christmas. I made your Bailey's cheesecake.
Oh,
I made your Christmas wreath, pavlova. I made savoury stuff as well. I can't remember. I made
your stuffing.
I made all sorts
of things.
You
know, I feel so much pressure when people are making the recipes at Christmas, particularly because it is like a big event.
It's a showpiece, isn't it? Yeah.
On Christmas afternoon, I'm always like just having a little look at the reviews on Instagram thinking, oh my goodness, I hope I've not wrecked anyone's Christmas with a floppy parsnip or something.
It was delightful.
It was
and you enjoyed the ham. Helen, you can vouch for the ham.
I made the ham. And my brother runs a restaurant, and for Christmas, not last year, but the year before, I used your ham recipe. And he has a variety of friends who work in the industry, so I cooked the ham for a very fancy person.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It was loved.
Who?
Nuno Mendes, who is a... famous chef.
Amazing.
And it was very loved, and so we all brought dishes, and
could
I was
you
get
a small quote for me, please.
I'll be in touch. Yes.
And
Nuno made the potatoes with lots of cream, like dauphinoise.
Oh,
sort of,
yes.
But you know, ham, I think ham was a winner.
Did you still win?
I think so.
Did you?
We didn't have a competition. I mean, let's say that.
Yeah. Definitely take it.
It was so good. But yes, it's a joy to have you here. And what I love, and I've, you know, your book is amazing, but your Instagram is a daily joy. The way you talk about food and present it, you know, I love seeing, oh, what's she making next? And when it comes to things like Easter and things like that, oh my God, you don't hold back. You don't hold back with the mini eggs and all the delicious things. And
yeah, you know, that was the Easter recipes are when I had like the first success on the blog.
Mm.
And that's when I thought, oh, this like online stuff might be quite good.
Mm.
When was that then? When did that all sort of start?
That was maybe 7, 8 years ago.
Okay,
maybe.
Right. Yeah,
so quite a long time now. So I've been hanging around online for a while. I started blogging, meaning to write about my children. That's when I started at that time. And
Hence the Taming Twins name. Hence you didn't call it Nice Dinner or something.
No, yeah. And just to be clear, she had twins. It's not after her boobs.
Yeah,
anyway.
I thought I'd write about the children. And also I thought I'd be funny, and I'm not funny. I'd just like to say to you both, that's a lot of pressure. Well done. I think I wrote like one funny post and that was it. There was no following up. Did one funny post. And then I thought, actually, the thing I am able to do that is helping my life so much is kind of keeping everything together just about is making dinner that's not stressful, that everybody will eat and doesn't take loads of like brain space.
And you can buy all the shit in a supermarket as well. That's what I like. In fact, you can buy pretty much all of it in like the corner shop, can't you? There's no going to fucking Harvey Nichols.
Nobody likes kale.
Nobody likes it.
Yeah, all of these kind of things. And I was working that out in my own life that actually having dinner on the table, whatever like chaos had ensued during the day, if I had some good home cooked food without huge like emotional or mental cost to myself, I suddenly felt like this was okay. Like I'd done the day okay, and tomorrow was a new day. And so I started sharing those recipes, and yeah, it just went from there really. But I wasn't funny, so the food.
Not everyone. I'm really funny myself, to be honest. I leave that to Ellie. But what was it like having twins in the beginning? Because you know, we all know what it's like to have one kid. But I heard the first 5 years of twins is really hard. And very, very,
really
very
hard.
Tiring.
I said very delicately then. Yes, I feel like it needs a bit more.
It's really, really hard.
It's fucking shit, Sarah.
It was so exhausting. And also, I'd had IVF to get to that point. And so it had been so difficult to get to that point that when I did have them, I felt this huge pressure all the time for every moment to be joyful.
Yes. Yeah. So grateful for these screaming, pooing things.
And it's not, is it? Like, it's just not. And the pressure was a lot. Mm. I didn't have a lot of help around me or anything. It was quite lonely. And then I can remember really distinctly that they got to like, just four, and they were due to go to school, and it had just got easier. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, like, this is it. This is what everyone talks about, parenting being good. And now they're going to go to school. I've waited 4 years for this. So yeah, it was really tough at the start. And then suddenly it did get easy because all my friends were then having second baby and stuff, and I was like coming out the other side. Yeah, I was just like, oh, I can brush my hair again, and so I'd done it all at once. So yeah.
Is there anything about that when it was really shit in those early years, is there anything you would like, if you could go back and say to yourself, or you would have found helpful if someone else had said to you at the time?
I can remember someone saying to me when they were like very early on, don't like, by the time they're 4 or 5, it'll be fine. And I remember looking at this woman and thinking, I literally hate you right now because I've got another 4 years of this. How am I going to get through these 4 years? Like, don't ever say that to anyone. Don't say. You've only got 4 years left of this life. So I definitely wouldn't say that to myself. But what would I say to myself? I just wish I'd relaxed a bit more. I wish I'd realised that, you know, if the house was a mess and if things weren't perfect and we were all in our pyjamas all day, none of it mattered. Like, we'd just get through it, it'd be okay. And I think, as so many of us feel, I had that real, like, outward pressure to perform and be doing a great job, which is just exhausting, isn't it? So.
It is. And I think people do feel a sense of overwhelm every night. And I love that your book is called What's for Dinner, because I have like about 5 meals that I cook, which is like sausages, pizza, chicken nuggets, spaghetti bolognese. I mean, this is going to be a shock to everybody, and maybe lamb chops. And that's just on rotation.
All the classics.
Yeah, on, it's just on rotation.
What a lineup! Yeah. I'd come for dinner. Is that an invite?
It's so boring though. But then, yeah, when it does get to 6 o'clock, I'm like, I don't know if I feel like I can make something that's really interesting or, you know, out of my comfort zone. So I think, was that sort of one of the drivers for your book and what you do?
I'd like to say yes, and I worked that out really quickly. But no, I, you know, we were talking about, like, we started online and we're all sharing stuff. You kind of, I don't know whether you have this, but you kind of go through that thing where, like, what do people want? What's going to work online? This is my job. I've got to find something that works. And for a really long time, I felt like I was putting out recipes that I thought were useful. And about 2 years ago, I thought, this is, like, really shit. I'm not really enjoying this. This thing online isn't really working. And now saying it out loud, it's really simple, but I just asked people what they needed.
Yeah.
And I just said, like, what are you struggling with food? Which did require me to remove some of my ego and just, you know, listen to what other people want. And I just really said, most of my audience are families and people with kids. And I said, what is it you're struggling with? What can I do to help? And, like, honestly, I had thousands and thousands of replies, and I just thought, oh, I'm onto something here. Like, this is what I need to do.
What were the key themes? What were people after?
Lack of time, and just what you've said, like, that's the thinking in the evening. Like, what I just cannot be asked to think about what I'm going to cook for dinner. And saying it out loud does seem really simple, but at the time, just so monumental just to really hone in on just answering the questions that people need rather than what I thought I should be making. And so from that point, I just changed all of my content, like, so the videos and stuff online, just to focus on that. Like, what is this situation? Well, we've got no time. We don't want to stand at the fridge thinking, eating cheese and thinking about what to, like...
8 slices of cheese.
Speak for yourself. I was listening to you and I was going, oh, that's a real problem, isn't it? Must be a problem for a lot of people. I literally wake up thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner.
Yeah. I love it. Even though we think about it, then you've got the other thing. So you stand at the fridge and you think, what food have I got? What will everybody eat? How much time have I got? There's, like, clubs and homework and other stuff.
Yeah. You love a slow cooker, don't you, Sarah?
I feel like a slow cooker meets a need of not of having dinner ready when you walk into the kitchen.
That is such a lovely thing. Mm. It is. Like, if you've had, like, I like a... like a beanie chorizo-y, tomato-y, stewy sort of thing. Where you can just chuck it all in and then just, you know, something you can have with... And you like a microwave rice pouch.
I love a microwave rice pouch. What? A lot of people... So many people ask me about cooking rice as well. I'm like, you could just microwave it.
They're 89p from Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And they're perfect every time. I love it.
Are there any things that you're a snob about? Like, my husband is a snob about... Frey Bentos pies, which I bloody love, and I introduced.
Do they still make those? Yeah,
what do you mean? Do they still? I bought one.
Make those. I bought one recently, Ellie, for Ellie as a present.
She bought
one.
Did you wrap it?
Yes, I put it in a lovely gift bag.
She bought me a lovely one. And I cooked it for my son, who's never, he's 11, but he's never had a Frey Bentos pie. I was a student, I ate them about 3 times a week. So I made it, like, for him.
And
Pete
tin.
Was just still in the tin. And Pete was like, if you've never seen one of these pies, listener, they are, they literally come in a sort of flat tin about the size of a sort of side plate. And you take the lid off and then you stick it in the oven. And then the crust is like puffs up, puff pastry thing. And then underneath... Look, my husband used this expression. He's right. It does look a bit like dog food, but it tastes absolutely delicious.
Well seasoned it is, that meat. Well seasoned.
Is Frey Bentos, is that a step too far for you, Sarah?
I think
who doesn't like meat in a tin? Come on.
Wow.
pie in a tin.
I'm going to be honest. Don't think it's going to make it into the next book, but I try most things once.
Good for you. My cookbook, 10 Ways with Frey Bentos Pies, is coming out this autumn.
I'll pre-order.
Oh, are there any foods that you wouldn't eat or you're just like, no?
I hate coriander.
Do
Does
you?
That count?
Have you got that thing?
Oh, yes, she's got the thing.
Soap.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And let me tell you, when I mention this on Instagram, people go one way or the other and they are very aggressive about it.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
People tell me that I'm missing out and I'm wasting my life not eating coriander. What am I doing with it? You know.
What the?
And then someone sent me a photo that someone had a I hate coriander tattoo. That may be my next move. That's how strongly I feel.
That's okay. You can hate... Ellie doesn't like dill.
What?
I don't like dill. Not a big... When tarragon. I say don't like it, or tarragon, I'm not a fan of, but I would eat it. Like, if you cooked me dinner and it was in the food, I would just eat it. Yeah, I'm allergic to kiwi fruit, Sarah.
Thank you
for not laughing. Some people laugh at that. It makes my eye and my throat swell up.
It's not pleasant.
It's really unpleasant.
Yeah.
So, kiwi fruit allergy awareness, people. It's a real thing. 70,000 people in the UK have it.
Well,
let's go and get tattoos, both of us, after this.
Is that true? 70,000 people?
Yeah.
Kiwi.
I'm just going through my archives of my brain thinking, have I ever put kiwi fruit in a recipe? And I don't think I have, so you're safe.
Well, you're not going to now, are you?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, can we have a look at the book actually, Helen? Because it's not just recipes. So we've got shopping lists and all sorts, haven't
you? Yes, that's what I thought. And so the whole premise of the book was it's food that you can make in 30 minutes, which I think is good because it's like an episode of something. You can slap the kids in front of the television. You can actually have a bit of time.
And as you say, there's shopping lists at the front of the book because when I went through this whole process of asking people what they want and what's difficult, that the thinking about the food was a big thing. And so the idea is that you can pick up the book, have a week of meals planned out for you and a shopping list, which you can do your online shop or take to the supermarket.
And be honest, do your twins eat all of the food?
No.
That's very kind of you to say that because I enjoyed, I made the halloumi bake last night and it was fucking delicious. But one of the children just ate the halloumi off the top and left the beans. But I thought it was absolutely gorgeous.
One of my big learning curves as a parent is, as I say, I wish I'd could go back and tell myself just don't worry so much about things. But the food is definitely comes under that heading because, the hours I spent trying to get them to eat, I don't know, something, celery or something.
Yeah.
It's like, this doesn't matter, does it?
No.
I think as long as they're fed, there's always some stuff left on the plate at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But there's no bullshit in here. There's no like, just mix some frozen spinach in with your mash and like the kids will just eat it. They won't look at it and go, it's green. I'm not eating it. Yeah. It's green. It's realistic.
I do try and sneak stuff in. There's like quite a lot of veg like that I try and hide in things. But I mean, like mine would pick out a piece of pepper from anything. But my tactic is always just to keep trying. And if there's some peppers left on the end of the plate at the end of the meal, it's fine. It's just,
keep going. I've just opened at this page, pot pie in a pinch. This is basically chicken pie with puff pastry. What you've done there, sir, is that's a Fray Bentos pie, basically, isn't it?
There's no tin, though. Do you think I need to
Well, this is what I'm saying. To be honest, you've made an error with this recipe because you can just buy pies in a
trick,
tin.
Haven't I?
So maybe for the next edition, probably just delete that. Or just write, just replace that page.
How long does a Fray Bentos take to cook?
I think it's about 25 minutes.
Just weighing them off. Just saying, but that is ready in 30 minutes.
Yeah, but that's more than 25, isn't it?
Okay, I'm very sorry about that. I'm trying to do one in 25 minutes. And then, we can have a pie off.
I think we know who'd win. But we had the turkey tacos the other night. That was lovely.
Thank you
very much. I've made the halloumi sausage bake as well. You've made the cookies, I think, Helen.
Yes, I made the cookies. But I think the butter was too cold, and you said just divide it up into 12 balls, and they stayed balls. So make sure
that's a special cookery skill.
Yes. I once did a poo in the shape of a tennis ball, and I went to the doctor because I thought I'd ripped my asshole. I don't know why I'm saying that.
My cookies would not have the same effect.
Can you guarantee that?
You've got a lot of oats.
Oh, yes, and very. I like that. You said, I'll put oats in it, makes it vaguely healthy.
Yeah.
What's your favourite recipe in the book? Is there one that you make all the time, or is.
There's a lasagna, which isn't really a lasagna. It's £1 lasagna, so you don't layer anything. You just put the pasta into the sauce and it cooks and is, like a messy lasagna. And I love that because it makes me feel really accomplished to make a lasagna on a weeknight.
Yeah, in 30 minutes as well. That's, I think I was going to talk about lasagna actually because it's one of those foods that you give for love. Because when I first got separated, Ellie made this divine lasagna and Pete brought it round and put it on the doorstep because it was, it was COVID times and everything. And there is something about lasagna that feels like a very warming, love-giving food. And obviously you talk about that in your writing as well. And what was the... Because your father died a few years ago, didn't he? And what was the food that you talk about that brings you close to him?
Did you see that in the intro of the book? Yeah. I wrote about it there. He used to fry potatoes which sounds very random, but I think about these all the time. So he, I don't know where all these leftover potatoes came from. My mother must have always cooked double potatoes. And in the morning, it was the only thing he cooked. And in the morning,
my dad loves a fried potato. Yeah, he's non-stick frying pan fried potatoes.
Is it like a generation?
Is it a thing from the war? I don't know.
Well,
they're pre-cooked potatoes.
They'd be like leftover potatoes. Yeah. His wasn't a non-stick pan. I don't think we'd reach that level in the 90s of kitchen
no
tea
fell.
Or 80s even, if I'm honest. There was quite a lot of oil, thick glug of oil. The potatoes would be cut up, they'd be fried, there'd be fat splattering everywhere.
Yeah. Mess.
Yeah, and then I can remember my mum moaning about the fat everywhere. But these potatoes would come out and they were so crispy and so delicious and they'd have loads of salt on. I can't actually remember what he served them with. Probably a deep fried piece of bacon or sausage or something.
Yeah. Black pudding, my dad likes. My dad just fried potato with black pudding is his idea of a good time. Yeah.
But I think about my dad. Yeah. Aww. And when I see leftover potatoes in the fridge, I always think, I should do some frying with those.
And the other dish that you mentioned in the beginning of the book is béarnaise sauce.
Current husband, I was going to say, which implies that I'm halfway. He makes the amazing béarnaise sauce, and when I met him, no one had ever really cooked for me ever, and to have someone take the time to make something that involves like melted butter and whisking it over a bain-marie, just mind blowing that someone would take so much care to create something that was also so delicious. As you've said, food is love, and there's those moments where someone does something that's very meaningful for you, whether it's because it's delivered at the right time or it's delivered in a way that shows care. And I think food is definitely that for me as well, and béarnaise sauce still.
I remember the first time I had an old boyfriend from Australia actually called Richard, and the first time I stayed over at his house, you'll know what we're talking about, the next morning he made smoked salmon cream cheese bagels with like proper lemon, and I'd never really had that before. I was only like in my 20s, and I was like, we didn't have that sort of thing in my house. We had fried potatoes and black pudding and fried bentos pies. And I was so impressed, and it was so delicious. So then when I got together with Pete, this is a bit naughty, but then I thought, I'll make him a smoked salmon and cream cheese bagel. Obviously, I didn't say...
You used the moves on him?
Yeah, yeah. I stole my old boyfriend's moves to my new boyfriend. Is that morally wrong?
No.
No, it's
no, because
fine,
you're just evolving. It's like
it's
you're
evolving.
Getting,
that's
like
such
you're getting
a good
better
word
at,
for it.
Better at sex. You're like, I'll take that from that other thing, and then I'll use that then. Yeah.
Exactly. They both...
Made it your own.
They both got the same vagina. Why shouldn't they have the same breakfast? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Gentleman's relish. Yes.
So I'm...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Made Pete these this bagel, and then it became like a thing, like when, and then years and years later he admitted to me that he didn't actually like them. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? And he was like, well, because we just got together and I knew you'd gone to effort. And
how long,
like,
had you been making them at this point?
Like, well, so at this point, so I was like, this is when I just made him one. And he was like, oh, this is lovely. And then he, like, confessed that he didn't used to like them. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no, I like them now. I grew to love them over time. And I was like, well, I feel like this is a metaphor for how I feel about you.
I'm used to it now. It's nice. Nice.
So have you ever pretended to like something to him? But can we talk about the grapefruit, Helen?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. We can.
Who's done what with the grapefruit?
Ellie and I went to a nice breakfast. We were meeting with a charity many years ago. We went to the Wolseley, which is nice. One of my favourite places. And I got sort of overwhelmed. I mean, they have beautiful Bernays sauce. They have Hollandaise sauce. They have all the lovely breakfasts you could choose from. And what did I choose, Sarah?
Oh, no.
Half a grapefruit.
So we're sitting there with these lovely charity people with this, like, business breakfast. We've just met these people. And then, like, I'm looking at her and I'm looking at this grapefruit going, I've never seen her eat a grapefruit in my life. Like, I've never been to a house and there's some grapefruit. What is she doing? And then you sort of poked at it.
Oh,
did it have a cherry on top? I feel like that's how I remember grapefruit being served.
No, because it was the 80s. That was the 80s diet food, wasn't it?
You'd sometimes get it as a starter. If you were at a fancy restaurant, you'd have a half a grapefruit with a cherry.
But we found out recently, it mucks with people's heart medication. Your father can't have one.
You can't have grapefruit.
So that would be the breakfast.
Did you eat it?
Yes, very slowly.
How was your face?
But now, every time we go out, and there's grapefruit on the menu, Ellie, we're like, grapefruit. Your favourite.
Is there any time when a grapefruit has a redeeming quality?
In a drink. I do
Paloma.
A Paloma. Paloma cocktails are delicious. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you were dating someone, Sarah, like you're
making me an offer.
Yeah. What's a meal that you would entice someone in?
Ooh, that's
how do you
such
show your
question.
How would you, because you, the Bernays sauce was obviously made you all a flutter.
Yeah, it did.
What would you serve as a sexy dinner? Someone said don't ever choose spaghetti bolognese because it'll end up all over your face. So you need a dinner.
Nigella talks a lot about making a carbonara though and taking it back to bed, which I always find slightly disgusting. I'm always a bit like, ooh,
that's a bit cream. No,
that's egg in my bed.
No,
from me. She writes about it beautifully, but I'm like,
carbonara is something you'd have a few months into a relationship where you don't mind a bit of.
I think I'd make something that you have to make with your hands. Like a taco or a fajita. I feel like that could tell you a lot about a man or a woman, in fact.
Yes.
How you're going to
toad in the hole.
nice. How are you going to, like, construct it and then...
Oh,
I'm doing a lot of hand movements.
Yeah. I like that. So more of a tapas-y sort of thing.
I think you can tell a lot about a person. Yeah, if they were really neat and a bit too tidy, I'd feel like I wouldn't trust them.
I think...
I still love a date night for one. I had one at the weekend because Pete was away. So Pete's also allergic, and he is allergic to shellfish. Like, it makes him violently ill. And I made myself, just for me, but I made a full-size one. I did not cut down the recipe. I made a proper fish pie.
Oh,
with, like, actual, obviously fish, but actual prawns and, like, double cream. And I put hard-boiled eggs in it and... parsley.
Yes!
Oh my god, if I say myself, it was sexy. It was a sexy time.
Hard-boiled eggs and my other no with coriander, so I'm very sorry. I mean, not that you're inviting me on your solo date, but it's a no from me.
No hard-boiled eggs?
Absolutely.
Really?
Is it all eggs or just...
What? No, it's just hard-boiled, because my question to you is, why would you want to eat something that smells like a fart? Like, literally, why would you choose to put that in your mouth?
Someone
give me
texture.
An
answer. Oh, I love it with a bit of salt, though.
We
hard-boiled eggs as a snack, and then a little bit of salt dip. When we were in Nepal, about halfway through the trip, we remember we had that packed lunch.
Oh my god!
And the beautiful Nepalese people had, like, tinfoil wrapped a hard-boiled egg.
And then Nepalese people said that the whole nation prepared the spoiled egg.
I'm going to be honest. It's not for me.
They knew they were coming.
Yes.
And there was a ceremony.
The good people of Nepal.
And they presented us
and
with this
a tiny, egg. Tiny bit of salt wrapped up in a tiny bit of tinfoil, like drugs.
I was so happy. It made me so happy.
It was so funny. Tiny bit. Oh, God. It was
the texture of earwax, the smell of fart.
But you were saying earlier you like leerdammer. That's just like eating lino.
Oh, it's one cheesy lino.
I love it. But a rolled up lino. Cooking dinner.
I love. Do you know what I love? What's the cheese dip that we love? It's like almost made out of like mayonnaise and plastic.
Oh yes, oh, like the cheese and chive dip.
Cheese and chive.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I do with a leerdammer? Is put a layer of that and then roll it up like a scroll.
I'm gonna need to make some notes here for my next book.
You're very very welcome. like a cheese Swiss roll, and it was just like cheese within cheese. Also, can I just going back to your book? I like that there's no calories in it. As in, there's been a lot of, what's it called,
Bullshit
about calories. And also now you go to restaurants and it's all big numbers of calories and things like that. And is that something you're conscious of or?
So I was very torn on this. The calories are in there, but if you haven't seen them, that's obviously, they're at the back.
They're at the back.
Yeah,
they're part of the nutritional information. Yeah, so it's all the carbs and all the stuff. Right.
I have a little godson who's type 1 diabetic.
Mm.
So I was slightly torn, thinking that would be so useful for people who need the macros. But as you say, I find it very invasive on restaurant menus. And I think to simplify a dinner into calories as to whether it's like healthy or not is just too simplistic. There's a lot of other things that we... To have a more rounded view of food, I think, is much better, especially for family food and kids, and teach them healthy habits. So I get a lot of questions about how to reduce calories in recipes, and I do tend to say now, I think it's not the recipe for you. Maybe don't have it every day and enjoy it as a balanced diet, but you don't need... In that book, in this 30-minute book, there is a 4-cheese frittata.
Oh yes, with 750 grams of potatoes. I did read that, and
it's like a dream. Yummy. But if you're thinking about calories, it's probably not the right recipe for you. Just choose another one, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Just for me, my comfort food is like a cheese sliced pasta, which is you boil. You boil the spaghetti, right?
It's Tuscan originally.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci raves about this. He's been in touch, actually. So what you do is you get a large, like a Pyrex bowl, and just line it with the plasticest cheese you can, like 2 or 3 slices. Boil up the pasta. Wow. And then pop it in, and then you mix it very quickly. Mm. So it's like a cheese slice carbonara.
Is there any seasoning or?
No, you don't need it because there's so much salt and deliciousness in
orangeness.
Yeah. And so it's creamy. And then if you want to be fancy, bit of pesto.
Ooh.
But that's my comfort food.
Wow. Okay. I'm not going to make any notes on that one.
So creamy. I'm going to make a video and I'll tag you in it going, this is the food that Tammy Twins won't eat.
Do you know what? I'm laughing, but actually I make cream cheese pasta, and people online love it and so do I. Which
Tell
is
me about that, Sarah.
It's pasta with cream cheese.
Is that it?
Fuck
that
you.
It? Yeah, no, there you go. I think it was the layering underneath the pasta that threw me, because it's like a whole other process.
No, you
it?
Just get cheese, chuck cheese slices in a bowl, but then you want the emulsification, a little bit of pasta water.
Yeah.
And then
there you go.
So delicious.
I like a pasta with blue cheese. So again, just pasta, nice. But then a big slice of butter and a load of blue cheese mixed in. If you're feeling fancy, chuck some spinach. Don't even cook it. Chuck some spinach in. Chuck some walnuts in. We used to eat it in Edinburgh, didn't we?
Oh, that was so
good.
Are you
Marmite fan?
Yes.
Have you had like pasta, butter and Marmite?
No, I've read about it many times. And it's
making me dribble a bit thinking about it.
We like a Marmite fry. Marmite deep fried chips. Obviously, and Marmite and cheese.
They do them at the world's best pub, the Ivy House in Nunhead. Get down there.
Well, the Marmite is just drizzled on them.
It's sort of mixed in, isn't it? It's like tossed in Marmite. I don't know how she does it.
I know what I'm doing myself tonight.
You're welcome.
So tell us about your next book then, Sarah. So you've got this one, which is a Sunday Times bestseller. Was it not? Very, very good.
Amazing. This book's called What's for Dinner, and the next one is called What's for Dinner in One Pot, and every recipe is cooked in one pot, so... I tried to simplify
cheese sliced pasta.
There you go, mate.
Actually, you could get in. Yeah. Well, I could have a guest appearance.
Don't patronise me.
Everything is cooked in one pan, so on a baking sheet, in a pan on the hob, or in a slow cooker.
Awesome.
And I really tried to make it so that they were complete meals, because, again, when I listen to what people struggle with dinner, it is not only time and thinking about food, but you know that all the washing up and the processes and having that five different pans, it's too stressful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've worked very hard to try and make it complete meals in a pot or a slow cooker.
How do you feel about a rice cooker, Sarah?
Not for me. I'm sorry. Why? What? Is this something I need?
Love a rice cooker.
Do you?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. The rice comes out perfect every time. And more to the point, which I found useful, again, you just chuck it in. So, yes, you measure the water in the rice, but you just throw it in. And sometimes I put coconut milk or stock in or whatever. And then the point is it cooks and then it just sits there for, like, hours and hours. So, like, you can do it earlier in the day if you've got people and then you just have it. Or if people,
I feel like that's quite a commitment of work surface space for rice.
Well, I have got, actually, I've got the Tefal one,
right,
which is a 5-in-1 machine. So it's a slow cooker,
okay,
and a steamer, although I can't be asked for that. And it makes rice and it makes porridge, which I've made in it.
Nice.
And again, keeps it warm is right. The point. And I can't remember what else it does.
Tell me about that amazing rice you made me last Monday. We had honey chicken. I came over for lunch and you made that beautiful rice with onion in it.
Oh.
And stock.
Oh, yeah, that's in the Tefal. Yeah, that is just, just rice and a bit of onion. I can't be bothered to fry it. A bit of garlic. Can't be bothered to fry it. And half a tin of coconut milk and some stock. Chicken stock cube stock.
Yeah.
Knorr stock cubes, we know, yes, are the best ones.
They are the best.
And that's it. And you put it in the rice cooker and then you can go away for literally hours.
Tasty.
And it's good. Ooh. Telling you, mate. I've just changed your life. You're welcome.
Thank you so much. That'll be my next book. Book number 3, rice cooker book.
What's your favourite kitchen gadget?
I like a little chopper.
A mini
chopper, a mini food processor, because I'm very lazy.
A little
chopping.
Yeah. It does your nuts, does your herbs.
100%. Like, who can be bothered to be chopping in a weeknight? And
no.
I feel like that is worth the space versus the output.
What's your favourite kitchen gadget, Helen? Kitchen.
I love my Magimix. It's a fucking beast.
Yeah.
It is so solid. I can't break it. I've broken my fucking Nutra Ninja. So I can't be thin anymore, apparently. Can't drink a smoothie. No, I love my Magimix. And I today I made you a lemon slice, which is an Australian classic, in the Magimix. And it took me about 4 minutes.
Did it?
Yeah, it was super quick.
Well, there we go. Well, look, should we do some Scummy Mummy confessions? What do you think?
Yes, let's do that. Sarah, will you kick us off?
I feel like mine is niche because food is my life.
Yeah.
And this is like an actual confession, but we eat a lot of fish fingers, and I know fish fingers are your thing.
Yeah, yeah. We basically invented
them. I had 10 for the dinner the other night.
Did you?
Just, no.
Nothing else.
I ate the whole box.
I love that.
Oh, I didn't even have any vegetables. Couldn't be fucked.
So when I'm testing the recipes, I don't know what happens to me, but we have got a lot of food. I give a lot of food away when we've tested it. But something happens to me at the end of the day where there is nothing I'd less like to eat than my own food, because I've been in the kitchen all day. So fish fingers are always my go-to. When I was testing my second book, which I've just been doing, at one point we had a whole freezer drawer full of fish fingers, which I feel like might be excessive, especially for a food blogger. And I don't know what they were like, my comfort food at that time, because I don't want to eat my own food. And so we had fish fingers in every guise that you could have. Fish finger taco. You had a fish finger taco. It's a dream.
No.
Fish finger in a taco.
Bloody good. In a mini tortilla.
Yeah.
Fish finger trifle.
Have you had fish finger katsu?
No,
that's a dream.
Great idea,
katsu
yeah.
curry, because I'd made a sauce for work. I was like, I can just about stomach the sauce. Can I have it over some fish fingers? So I feel like my...
And a patch of rife.
Yeah, exactly. My current... there's a lot from when they were younger, but my current scummy secret, which people... certainly wouldn't expect from a food blogger, is my love for fish fingers.
Oh, love it. Helen, have you got a confession?
Oh, I thought I'd do a food related
okay,
one.
Nice.
So my son has just got into making burgers, right? And I said, oh, well, let's get, you know, like the burger shaper from Amazon, where you can get like 100 papers and it's like a press. Mm. Anyway, I thought, this is good. He's making food. Anyway, so I was, you know, being a single parent, I was just trying to like do everything at once. And I said, oh, here's the burger press. And I thought he would work it out, right? And he would wash it before he used it.
Nice.
But he didn't. He just took it out of the packet. And then what he did, he put the mince directly onto the hot pan and then just got the press and was just like pressing it down, not putting it in to make a round thing.
Melted plastic burger.
Yes. Yeah. And then I was like, it's fine. It's like
100% fine.
Absolutely. I mean, it's cooked quite hot. And he was using a press inappropriately. Oh, it hadn't been washed. But then he was trying his best.
I think if you've got your son making burgers, that's a win. Yeah. I don't think you should question too much around the hygiene or anything else. You're still here. Fine.
Exactly. It's fine. It was just a fish finger. Yeah, it was just a straight. Oh, I just want to ask with the fish finger. It says 12 minutes, but I always do 18. I like it extra crispy, so it's almost like a biscuit.
I like it so crispy that it's almost like a little bit dry.
Yes.
And a bite.
Yeah. And almost a firm corner. Yeah.
Like all the breadcrumbs fall off as well, don't
they? Yes,
yeah.
I don't mind a bit of sog.
You're all flaccid.
I like that with pastry as well. I like it when it's a little bit
I like it when it's shrunk a bit. It's turned at the corner.
Yeah, so good.
Overcooked, even.
You can pick them up. Not be floppy.
I like a firm, firm one.
Sorry.
Hello. Very aroused now. So my big son, he quite likes cooking. He's quite into it, mainly because he watches a lot of TikTok. So he's a curtain that's trendy. But my little son, he sort of doesn't mind it, like baking cookies and stuff. But he's not been that interested. But just last night, he said to me, "Mummy, will you teach me to cook?" Again, probably he's probably seen it on YouTube. So, but then you go, "Okay, what do you want to cook?" And he's like, "Biscuits." And I'm like, "No, that's just cookies in another form." But okay. And I said, "All right, let's we watched Jamie Oliver, because he did this, his Meals for a Pound thing, which I think is really good, actually." He was making meatballs, and Joe loves meatballs. So I was like, "Brilliant, we'll watch this, and that'll inspire him." We watch it, and Joe's like, "Okay, yeah. And Jamie makes the meatballs, and he cuts up the pepper, and he cuts up the green pepper, and he cuts up the onion, and he puts it all on the skewers. And I was like, "There you are, Joe. See, we could do that. We could do that together." And he's like, "Yeah, I want to do that, but I'm going to do the meatballs, but with no onion." I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "And also no red pepper and no green pepper." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "So what you're saying is we're just going to make meatballs and put them on a stick?" And he was like, "Yep." I was like,
that's
what we're doing. Is that creative? Just taking things away. sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, I took everything away just to eat fish fingers.
So that's what we'll be eating for the rest of the week. Meat on a stick.
Meat on a stick, yeah. Love that.
Why not? Yeah.
Call it a kebab, then you're fine.
It's no worse than meat in a tin, is it?
Really? No, that is true.
Oh, excellent. So your brilliant book, Sarah, What's for Dinner, is out now. And when's the new one coming out?
The new one is available to pre-order now and comes out on the 28th of September.
Oh,
lots of slow cooker recipes ready for like back to school time as well.
Oh, will your ham be in that book?
No, it's not. Ham's a bit Christmassy, although I do make it all year.
I think you should do a Christmas book.
Do you?
Yeah. I'd love a Christmas cookbook.
Imagine that. I could spend all year eating ham and Christmas food.
Oh my God. That. I love Christmas food.
And pies.
Oh. Excellent. We're on tour, everybody. Why don't you come and see our comedy show?
Yes, we're going up and down the country, hopefully to a town near you. You can get tickets from scummymummies.com and all the tour details are there. The shop's still around, Ellie.
It's still open, I
think. Yeah, you can buy a t-shirt or a mug or something else. That
I can't even remember what else is in there. Candles, I forgot we did.
Yes, candles. We do a candle, which is very nice. Yeah. How about you, Sarah? Do you have any merchandise that's unpopular? Like that? We've got towels that nobody buys. It's really great.
I think my pie in a tin book might be unpopular.
Ah, yes, very, very popular.
Excellent, I'd buy it.
Yeah. And where can people find you?
All done. They can find me everywhere at Taming Twins.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Well, there we go. Thank you so much for coming
on
the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent.
And thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye.
My husband claims he has an allergy to parsley. So he claims that fresh parsley, so it's fine with it cooked in a sauce or something, but if you sprinkle fresh parsley garnish or in a salad, then he says it makes his mouth tingle. Is that him now? Hang on.
Well, it's probably your father likes to podcast bomb.
Sorry. Hello, thank you.
I want to hear about the tingling parsley.
This is Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah's nice from Taming Twins, you know, the lovely recipe book lady.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you made the hot pot the other day.
Did you?
Yes, you. Oh, because I was here and Ellie was shouting.
I'm going to reconsider my parsley choices in future.
Okay.
Did you hear what we were just saying about the parsley?
Well, no, but you just described it as an affectation, so I can get the gist from that. How about you go and fuck yourself?
That's if it, it helps, Sarah's a little, she doesn't like coriander. Do you feel better?
Devil's weed.
Yeah, well, and the cucumber. I mean, the devil's vegetable. Like cucumber, just look at the shape of it.
What?
I know, it doesn't taste of anything. How can you not like it?
It's so fresh.
Yeah.
It tastes of cucumber. Why would they make moisturiser and all sorts of
hand creams? You don't eat moisturiser.
Scented and flavoured as cucumber if it didn't taste
of anything. He does make a reasonable point there.
Oh, but what about...
Why don't you marry him then?
That's thinking.
No, because I love cucumber.
Thank you, Peter.
Right, see you later. I'm off to Nando's.
Oh, nice.
Treat yourself.
Lovely.
Remember to say no parsley.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.